Okay, let's stop that. Let's stop that foolishness now. I'm going to start, I don't care. Hello and welcome to Pilot Season. I was bending over while doing that, so I bet it sounds really, really good. I'm Patrick Brogan. Alongside me is a different sound setting, probably for you, listener. And Alan Byrne. Hello, Alan Byrne.
Hello, Patrick Brogan.
And joining us is the two-time cursor of podcast recordings and composer of music for The Unemployed Historian and other things that usually pay him a lot more. It's Robert Lucas.
How are we getting on? Robert? Why so formal?
Well, I normally introduce him as Alan Byrne.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay. Anyone in person, call me Raj.
Anyone in private, call him whatever you like.
Yeah.
Today, we are all sitting on a couch because we are going to talk about the unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Stay alive, damn it.
It's a miracle.
It took me a long time to realize he was saying it's a miracle. I thought he was saying it's America. It's America!
Only in America can women survive being in a hole.
You know, they're alive, damn it. It's America! You know,
no,
it's...
I thought he was saying Kelly all the time, because I thought he was talking to the news reporter.
It's
her name is
Unbreakable
Kelly.
They're Alive Kelly.
Yes. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's like for years I thought Psycho Killer by Talking Heads contained the line, I hate people when they are not alive.
I don't actually know that song.
No? The line is, I hate people when they're not polite.
Oh, no, wait, sorry. I've heard that song once in the kitchen the other day while I was making your family dinner.
Yes, Rog made Alan's family dinner one day.
And they're still talking about it because it was delicious.
He likes to cook.
Rog is now my parents' favourite of my friends.
By the
in your face, Patrick.
Yeah, 21 years.
And
of blood,
how many dinners
tears.
Have you cooked?
It's okay, I'll give you
dinners.
I tell you what, when we're doing the Cooking with Rod show, you don't have to publish it until after, you know, you've used the recipe and cooked Alan's family dinner.
Okay. Let's get into the episode then, shall we?
Yeah.
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is a show created by Tina Fey and another guy, I can't remember what his name is, Robert Carlock? I have notes.
No, he was in Stargate.
I had notes.
That was Robert Carlyle.
I have notes in front of me, but I could have used my internet powers while I was doing the podcast if we were doing it over Skype, but we're not, and my laptop is really far away. But it debuted on Netflix last March, and all of it went on Netflix at once, as is tradition. But we're only going to look at the first episode, because that's what we do here on Pilot Season, if you didn't know already.
I thought it was an aviation training program.
Well,
that's the other Pilot Season.
Other pilot season.
Oh, right, sorry.
Which there are two of on iTunes. We're the other one.
And not
we're
the
one that's
not
the planes.
And not the biblical roleplay one either. You know, Punch's Pilot Season. Sorry, anyway, let's get back to the...
Welcome to Tangents, which are totally uncommon on this show. So, this is a show about a woman who was kidnapped at the age of 14 and kept in a bunker for 15 years.
Yep.
And emerges, finding out that, one, the world has not been destroyed, as her captive cult leader, Reverend and Indiana's worst
wedding DJ.
Yeah.
The Reverend Richard Wayne Gary Wayne had informed her and her friends. And she adventures off into New York to start her life away from her small town, where she'll just be known as one of the mole women, as they became known, the Indiana Mole Women. And
they don't like that title.
They don't like that title. But she ventures off into New York to have adventures, and her name is Kimmy Schmidt, and she is unbreakable. Podcast over. Goodbye.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Yeah. Wait, I came out for that?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a very short show.
I see.
Okay.
I'll see myself out.
Good.
Bye.
Bye, Raj. So, Alan, the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes.
Let's talk more about that.
I suppose we should.
Yeah. It starts off, we think it's Christmas, but because they're in the bunker, and they're singing Apocalypse, Apocalypse.
We caused it with our dumbness.
There we go.
Look, Roger's back.
I'm back, yeah. I heard you talking.
It was seamless, that. as they're doing that, and they've been handing out their Secret Santa gifts and all that Christmassy jazz, there's a knock on their bunker door, and
it's Santa Claus.
It's a SWAT team.
Yeah, it's a SWAT team.
Santa doesn't dress
up. That wasn't Santa.
But that's what my parents told me Santa looked like.
I know, but that wasn't Santa. Santa doesn't travel by helicopter, Alan.
Sure he does. You believe that flying reindeer junk? That's scientifically improbable.
It's more probable than getting the entire way around the world in a helicopter.
The
fuel weight alone.
There'd
have to be a refueling station at every house, man.
No, you refuel in flight. You have a fuel plane going around.
So,
Air Force One.
Yeah.
One of the other mole women, when they are brought free to the surface, informs Kimmy that I think we counted wrong. It's not Christmas because it's clearly probably spring. You're not quite sure when it's taking place. This is a conversation we had on the original version of this podcast.
I insist that it can't be summer because
early summer.
It could be exceptionally early summer, and by early summer I mean
May.
Not May yet.
Okay.
Because this is a kid who's clearly in primary school or elementary school for our friends around the pond. Or across the pond, even.
All around
the pond. No, it can't be summer because the kid's in school.
Hmm.
So, spring is sprung when they're being sprung from the
sprout.
I think summer holidays are shorter in America.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. I think so. I don't know the rules.
Okay, I retract my point, but I don't really.
Okay.
Not winter. There is no snow.
It's not winter. There's no snow.
There is bright, sunny times.
The most important thing is that...
What if they tunnel through to Australia?
Ooh.
Then it would be Christmas time and summer.
But the most important thing is they found some white women and also Hispanic women.
Yes, that's true.
As the lower thirds on one of the news reports tells us.
Mm.
This show is full of tiny little things like that. Tiny little jokes. Jokes. Joking about in tiny ways. And that's when we get the glorious, glorious theme tune, which is done by those auto-tune the news people, where they auto-tune some fake news, where we find out that white dudes hold a record for creepy crimes.
Do they?
Well, according to the guy on the theme song, I don't have statistics to back this up, Rod.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I was hoping you might, but apparently you don't.
I don't, because, I'm not a machine.
Aww.
Not anymore.
Why not?
I got the robectomy.
Yeah.
My robot parts have been removed. I am now just a man.
Well, they were trying to kill people, so
it
was probably worth it in the long run, but right now it could have been helpful.
You know, when the human Cylon war happens, I've picked my side. I ain't no skin job.
Meanwhile, on the Today Show, the Indiana mole women, as they have become known, are being interviewed. And we find out that Kimmy was kidnapped in the 8th grade. There was Cindy, who was the first to be forced into the cult. She was kidnapped after being lured out to look at some bunnies in a car, which is she seems a bit too trusting there. She also still has her braces after 15 years, which is... that seems gross.
It is a bit gross.
Her teeth are great.
They are, surprisingly. Especially after 15 years, her jaw would grow. Wouldn't it? Your head, my head's bigger than it was when I was 14. That's all I'm saying.
The rest of your body, however, not changed.
No, I'm still a tiny businessman. Now that I remember, a friend of mine was going through St. Anne's Park and was actually asked, could she help a guy find his dog in a bush? And she was like, oh, sorry, I'm late to go for some sort of appointment. I think she had an after school thing or something like that. But it did not occur to her that, this weird guy didn't have a dog in the bush. So that shit surprisingly...
She could have been a mole woman.
She could have been a mole woman.
There actually is a line there where... who's the host of the show?
Matt Lauer.
Where Matt Lauer says something along the lines of, it surprises me how...
How much a woman will do not to seem rude.
Yes. Yeah. It's not just women. It's everyone, really.
This show does have a slight little bit to it.
That's definitely something that's a holdover from Tina Fey's last show, 30 Rock.
I've never actually watched 30 Rock. I've been told repeatedly by my brother to watch it.
Well, he's right. You should watch it. 30 Rock has this undercurrent of liberal satire that it's not as pronounced as Kimmy Schmidt, because I think they're feeling a bit more freed by being on Netflix as opposed to NBC. But there's always that kind of bite to their jokes.
Mm.
And there was also in this, they put out the kind of the antithesis of all the women, is Gretchen, who was the only one who was willing to join. She responded to a Craigslist ad where the Reverend Gary Wayne wanted to buy her hair, and they exchanged emails, and she felt the ideas were very interesting, and still seems pretty keen on the entire thing. In fact, she's the only one who hasn't changed her clothes since the bunker. And there's Donna Maria, who was part of a maid service. She's a Hispanic lady. And
Happy maids.
See, happy maids.
And she apparently doesn't speak English at all. Hasn't learned to speak English in 15 years.
Yeah, well, those bitches didn't learn any Spanish.
Maybe she has learned English.
And this is the point where we on pilot season take a break. And during that break, one of our guest or co-host is going to get an ambush makeover.
Ooh, I hope it's me.
I hope it's you too. I don't think any of Patty's clothes will fit me.
Oh, who knows?
Listen, my massive girth is far superior to yours.
This aside was brought to you by Audible.com. Do you like ears? Because we have them.
You can hear us on this website, or audible.com.
The world's only talking website.
Is there actually an audible.com?
Yeah, they do audiobooks.
Oh, that's okay, that's fine.
Use the promo code, is there an audible.com, at every website to get something, if you're lucky.
Just keep typing it until something happens.
Yeah.
And that's the return of fake ad inserts.
Mm.
Where are we?
You can find them on ZomboCon.
So they're leaving the Today Show.
There we go. They're leaving the Today Show, and some PA just gives them their stuff to be all like, thank you for being on the show, to get whatever, gift bags, and says, thank you, victims.
Goodbye,
victims. Thank you, victims.
Like that, just like what he said.
Thank you, victims.
And as they're leaving away in their car, we have Kimmy realizes she doesn't want to go back to
Durnsville
because she will be remembered as the mole woman and wants to make a new life and things.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be a victim because she's unbreakable, damn it.
She's going to get her new life together in New York. She gets out of the car and Cindy gives her part of the fund, the mole woman fund that was raised for the three mole women, and her
four mole women, Patrick.
Formal women.
Donna Maria counts.
Yeah, just because she's Hispanic. You're so racist.
And, I'm not a racist.
You took a long time to think that. It's just like, wait, something said. Not good. Are you calling me slow?
Meanwhile, back at the show, Cindy hands Kimmy her Secret Santa gift, and Kimmy goes off into the real world, where she can have candy for breakfast and free horses and buy sparkly runners from fancy boutiques and swing all the way around on a swing, which I believe Roger was not a big fan of.
I am not a big fan of that. Of all the ways to break, you know, the thread of credibility, that was the one that got me. Now, I don't know if it's the fact that she went around the swing or the fact that that kid was clearly a terrible actor who shouldn't have been there.
Well, he's only a young child thing.
Listen, there are plenty of tiny businessmen who are good at acting, okay? Haley Joel Osment, when he was younger, he could totally have done that.
He's a bit too old to do it now.
He's too old to do that now. He could have hired a little person.
He still kind of looks like Haley Joel Osment, though.
He could just like kneel down and suck in his cheeks and no one will know the difference.
Technically, he does still look like Haley Joel Osment because he is Haley Joel Osment. You just don't stop being the person you were because you're older.
That's what happened to me.
Daniel Radcliffe, when he was a kid, he could act better than that kid.
I think they probably cast the Harry Potter.
Mara Wilson, when she was six, would act circles around that kid.
I think that
she still would if she was into acting.
Do you realize Mara Wilson is the same age as, well, Alan and I?
Yeah.
It's really creepy.
I understand that. I have followed...
You followed
her? I followed her.
Around the back.
Yeah.
No. Followed her around the pond.
I really enjoyed her little cameo in the nostalgia.
She was born in the same year as me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
1987?
Yeah.
You're a year older than me?
Yeah. I've always been older than you.
Well, that's a given by virtue of when you were born. I just didn't know that fact. Oh, wait. Actually, yeah. I was like the second youngest person in our class.
Yeah.
The only other person who was younger than me was Rachel.
Yeah. That's inside baseball.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway.
No one cares about Rachel.
One cares about Rachel. No
I
one cares
even
about them.
I remember Rachel.
She was the one who... You don't remember that?
No. I don't remember that.
Okay, she was very good friends with Stephen. Never mind. This is going on the internet, so I can't give last names or any more information than that.
It might get cut out for you.
You know Bob?
You remember Bob?
I remember him. Yeah, I remember Bob.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh. He used to call you. Let's get back to the show.
It's a repressed memory.
You know, I plucked that name out there and completely forgot what he used to call him, Bob.
Yeah, I forgot it too.
Gretchen is the one who gets the ambush makeover, by the way. Kimmy also gets thrilled even, by the sensor-activated bathroom utilities. And goes all the way around the swing, like Rod said. Then she buys candy for dinner, frees a horse, and starts looking for an apartment when she spies a small child stealing.
Stealing a Snickers bar.
Stealing a Snickers bar. Mm. And she accosts the child by saying, "Where is your grown-up? Or are you a tiny businessman, sir?" Which is a wonderful line. And then she runs away and...
Screaming stranger danger.
And she says, "Rog?
I'm the stranger danger? I'm a stranger danger ranger!"
And at this point, this child will be important later on because of reasons. But at this point we meet...
Carol Kane!
Carol Kane, who is wonderful. And she offers Kimmy Schmidt either a smoke or a heroin. Carol Kane plays Lillian, who is the owner of the building that, spoilers, Kimmy ends up living in an apartment in. And Lillian's the kindly, if...
Insane
woman. And she is letting an apartment to a fellow named Titus Andromedon, who is possibly on the verge of being evicted because he hasn't paid his rent in a very long time, and Lillian has been advertising for a lieutenant.
To be fair to Titus, he doesn't have any money.
That is very true.
Yes.
And can I just point out, when you said new tenant, I thought you said lieutenant. You know? She's advertising for a lieutenant. She is crazy, so she might have...
Yeah.
She might have done that. And Kimmy was just like, you know what? I would like to be in the army.
The army of crazy, crazy ladies. But the problem is that Kimmy has no recent address or employment info. She has nothing to prove that she actually exists or that she think will get her this apartment. So she has to go off and find a job. But Lillian warns her about the colour of her shirt, which is yellow, because it's the colour of a new gang called the Banana Boys. Because they took the name because there weren't any good colours left.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you wonder if... I've always wondered with Lillian, is she actually... Are the things she's saying true? Or is she just insane?
I don't know. It's a tough one. Like, there is a chance that she's just, like, completely heffed up on goofballs.
On heroin.
Or on heroin, yeah.
Well, later she comes to him. Later she admits to have been just back from doing the Walk of Shame herself.
Yeah.
She sat down.
I have a problem with the Walk of Shame.
Why?
On the one hand, it shouldn't be shame. And number two, why not give them money for a taxi?
I don't know, Raj. I'm not society.
I just think, you know, it's nice.
I'm not.
You know.
Yeah, these are legitimate concerns.
These are legitimate concerns. If I stay over in a girl's house and I don't have cab fare, I'd like it if she gave me cab fare. So surely, if the thing is reversed...
Well, what if the idea is that you can sneak... If the idea is, like, sneaking out...
Then bring cab fare.
But what if it's you didn't plan...
That's victim-blaming, Raj.
...on anything.
Okay.
Tumblr's going to have a field day with you, sir.
Tumblr's got... All five people on Tumblr are going to have a field day with
you. There are more than five people on Tumblr. That's at least 10.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it.
I think it's nice. Maybe, before you go to sleep, but after, you know, you do the hibbity dibbity, you write a little note and you leave it by the door. If you're sneaking out, take this cab fare. Least I could do.
Have a
nice time. Call me back if you'd like. But if not, I totally respect that.
This is a very long note.
It is a very long note. You could just print a load of them.
Just sign each letter. One.
Yeah. And just make sure that there's cab fare.
Dear applicant.
Thank you for your interest in overnight sex.
I can't see you anymore because I am a ghost.
Yeah, now it's just Barney Stinson.
Yes.
Yeah, just Barney Stinson.
So, where are we? Oh, yes. Okay, she goes to a candy store to look for work because she's a big fan of their products.
She's very interested in them.
Yes.
And who wouldn't be? But then she spies the same child from earlier and grabs him and brings him back to his house where we meet his mother, who thinks that Kimmy is the dog masseuse, then thinks she might be the Uber driver, and then...
Oh, so you are the dog masseuse. No, I'm a stranger.
Because the
and then she's all like, come on inside, Barkley, or whatever the kid's name is. Is it Buckley?
Buckley.
Buckley. Ah, there we go. I knew it was in the right. Come inside, Buckley. You know I can't go outside.
And then Kimmy thinks that it must be because she's in the same situation as Kimmy was, because there's a portrait of a man behind her, and she thinks maybe this man is her reverend, and asks the lady if she needs any help. When she does so, the lady starts to sob, and then since Kimmy has gotten some sort of a possible... child mind her job, or possible everyone mind her job, because the lady's not very clear on what the actual job is, because
she's to come in at 6 o'clock to wake up Buckley, and then she has to get her up at 10 but not wake her. Are you good at braiding? Oh yeah, I'm great. I'm awesome at braiding. Oh great, the horses, I'll introduce you to them later.
You never do see the horses.
We don't.
Also, the best part of that is when she offers her a bottle of water, and Kimmy doesn't know, and she just throws the bottle in the bin.
Yeah.
Because she has this whole fridge full of water.
Mm.
She's such a white person.
I can't remember the name of the character, but that's Jane Krakowski playing her, and she was part of the regular cast of 30 Rock as well. So,
a similar character too, I think.
She's pretty good at the whole self-absorbed white lady. Yeah. She was in Ally McBeal as well, and playing pretty much...
Yes! That's where I knew I recognised her from somewhere. She's the one who thought she could sing, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
sorry.
Titus's doll furniture is put on the sidewalk. It's a beautiful shot because the perspective is that...
It looks like his furniture's all outside, and then he's like, Lillian, why is my doll furniture on the road?
He's like, it's the only thing I could carry.
The real movers are coming by tomorrow.
Kimmy turns up and she frightens Titus, who, when he sees her, goes, what weirdo? And there's this whole debate about Kimmy has money and they can move in, and Titus asks Lillian what about my money, and then Titus replies, what about my money? Slavery reparations, Lillian.
You people have suffered.
We're going to go into quoting the show because it's funny.
I think quoting the show is better than just summarizing it.
And we're summarizing and discussing and chatting about the bits and bobs of it. Titus then wants to find out more about Kimmy because she's not got that much in the way of furniture or
things.
Yeah, she's got a book, she's got a present, and she's got her clothes on her back.
And she's very excited about having a window.
Oh, yeah. And the door that opens.
Audio show, Rog. I can't see.
I know. I'm sorry, but I feel compelled to do it anyway.
She does the happy sad face thing when she's going.
Also, that if she measures the room, she says it's two Dalmarias by a Gretchen.
And it's a quirky show.
Yeah.
It's
Wait, how big is Donna Maria? Because I'm trying to which two Donna Marias by a Gretchen. That room is a lot bigger than you would think looking at it in the show if it's two Donna Marias by a Gretchen. Maybe. Even if it were two Cindy's by a Gretchen.
Yeah, you're right. But it's a pretty small enough room. I mean, but it's basically a closet.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's got natural light, so that's good.
Yay! Kimmy almost starts to, when pressed, give Titus a real backstory and just says, I'm from Indiana.
Oh, that's why you're so basic.
And then he tries to scam her out of her money for back rent and all
next month's rent, security deposits.
And ever since you showed up, this light stopped working. There's no light bulb in there. Oh, you're so very cosmopolitan.
Yeah, Titus is really. He's really trying to take her for all she's worth at the beginning. He quite quickly has a change of heart, though. I mean, after they go out to a club and begin a Moesha reference
because Kimmy was 14 in the 90s.
Yes, and you know what? I watched Moesha as well.
Did you watch the Parkers?
Parkers? No, I didn't watch the Parkers.
It had her friend. I forget what her friend's name was, but her name was Parker, and they had a spin-off of Moesha. Yeah.
Okay.
It exists.
Why isn't this on pilot season?
Because we haven't gotten around to that yet.
Okay.
One day, maybe. We've got like 6 more weeks of stuff to do before we run out of
run out of funding.
Then we launch the Patreon.
And then we can finally make Love Me Tinder, Alan.
No, we're not doing Love Me Tinder.
That's what you think.
And
Cooking with Raj. Don't forget Cooking with Raj.
Yeah, but we'll try and get that one budgeted too. I don't know. So they want to go to a club, or Kimmy does, and she encourages Titus to go out to the club. Which they do, and there's hilarious things of a weird thing about the show is she's very much still a 14-year-old girl, and
yes,
so she's basically just thrust straight into adult situations of being in a club, and firstly being offered Molly.
That's her favorite American girl doll.
And realizing that dancing is all about butts now, and
yeah, then, that was a great scene.
Yeah, Ellie Kemper does some fantastic dancing in this scene. It's just brilliant.
Yeah.
There is no shame at all.
And she does a really good kind of... She does that sort of enthusiastic, childish thing really, really well.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
Alongside still sort of being able to be...
serious.
Serious. And because Kimmy's not... Like, Kimmy is a bit of a... has her kind of goofy bits, but she is kind of all the mole women, she seems to have been the most
sturdy,
the most together. And although she does end up getting robbed in the she puts down her backpack because it looks a little bit too childish, and she's chatting to this guy, and
he buys her a drink, and she has her first alcohol.
This is what I kind of
think. It's an interesting statement, you know, that the reason she gets robbed is because she decides to start changing herself for a man.
Ooh. some sort of political message there.
Tuck it, tuck it, or tuck it, tuck it, tuck it.
I do feel a bit. It's a bit because she's not adjusted to the 2015 world yet. So she's still, it still feels a little bit. You feel a little bit worried for her in all these situations.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, she was being slightly responsible. She did put the bag around her leg.
And then she gets stolen and she gets...
Yeah, she gets physically knocked over for someone to steal the bag.
And this is where we realize that she can't handle herself because she punches a bouncer. Who comes over and tries to throw her out because she's causing a scene. And unfortunately, after she gets thrown out, she sees her bag. And there's nothing in it. And there was something like $30,000 something in it.
Yep.
And she walks away really sadly. I love the shot because she's walking really sadly into the night and her runners are lighting up as she walks away, and then a horse from around here just drops across the screen.
Yeah, so it's the consequences of her freedom
passing
her by.
Symbolism.
Yeah. Actions have repercussions.
Yes, and reparations.
And reparations. And reparations.
And it's Buckley's birthday, but Kimmy, who was meant to be there, Kim was going to be at the house at 6, didn't turn up because of the previous night problems, and Buckley's informed by his mother it's not his worst birthday, because the worst one was the day he exited her uterus. Ignore my spelling in my notes there, guys.
Yeah, I'm trying to read it and kind of going.
Well, I was writing this while watching it, so I wasn't really checking for...
It's fine. I'm just going to roll with the punches.
And punch with the rollings?
Punch with the rollings.
Okay.
Of stone.
This apparently was strike 3 as well.
Yeah.
So she gets fired.
Oh, strike 2.
Has baseball changed?
And this is the aforementioned walk of shame part, because Lillian has apparently done the walk of shame herself and just sat down. She sits on the step watching the world go by.
Lillian kind of reminds me of what Sarah Goldfarb from Requiem from a Dream would be if she got out of the thing at the end. That's my headcanon. They're the same person and she's just turned into a landlord in Queens.
I'll take your word for it, because I've been warned never to watch Requiem for a Dream.
I haven't seen either, actually.
Oh, you should.
Nah, Aoife says I shouldn't have ruined my sunny disposition.
Listen, Requiem for a Dream
is very sunny.
I was just as dark and cynical before Requiem for a Dream as I am now, and I'm prone to little flights of fancy, so you know what, you'll be fine.
Only small ones.
Yeah, little flights of fancy.
Once every so often, Rod, a tiny flight of fancy.
Tiny
one.
Yeah.
And at this point, Rod, this is when Kimmy confesses that she's a mole woman.
Oh, yeah.
And... Titus tries to convince her to leave New York and go back to Durnsville because she can't handle, because you know she's not able to handle New York, because New York is a big city, and he tells all about his past. He came from somewhere in Mississippi, and his real name is Ronald Wilkerson, and he had come to New York to be an actor. He showed this picture of him, which is the actor's name is Titus something, actually. I can't remember the surname of the actor. His face photoshopped onto this young slimmer guy's body.
On roller skates.
Yeah, it is, and he's doing a little dance thing.
Fun fact: Wilkerson is the surname of the family of Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. It's never said on screen, but it appears on driver's license or something.
It also appears in a script that was changed for the pilot, where Malcolm introduces himself as Malcolm Wilkerson.
Hmm. It's like in King of the Hill when you learn in the very, very last episode of what Boomhauer's name is.
What is it?
I have forgotten.
Okay.
But it's on his driver's license. You see his driver's license. And you find that he's a...
It's Bernard Umhauer.
It's
like finding out the big from Sex and the City's name.
He's like
John.
John
Bigman.
He's like a some sort of ranger or something. He's got some sort of you find out his job and his real name.
I hope his name is Walker. He's from Texas. He's actually Chuck Norris. And that's why he's so incomprehensible.
Yeah.
So that, you know, people won't peg the fact that he's Chuck Norris.
I put water on my knee, but we're going to carry on anyway.
And a little bit of
power beer. Through.
Power through.
Do it live.
We are doing it live. We found out that Titus had come to New York to try and get on The Lion King on Broadway. And
yes, in that I wasn't.
That's what Kimmy says when Kimmy says to him that you were lagging on Broadway, and he says what Marge just said.
Yes, in that I wasn't.
And it's somewhere along the he goes through the whole, he's basically trying to prove to her that, you know, he came full of dreams and ideas, and he's now
been crushed by life.
Yeah, and just because you're surviving in New York doesn't mean you're making it. Is the sort of takeaway thing.
Yeah.
Just because he's in New York and he's not dead doesn't mean that he's a success.
It hasn't fixed all his problems.
Yeah. He asks her how much money was in the bag, and because I'm very scared to ask you this, and then we get Kimmy from me going, yes, there was weird sex stuff in the bunker.
She says it so exasperatedly,
yeah.
Like it's the first thing anybody ever asks
her. Yeah, there was weird sex stuff in the bunker.
But actually, Kimmy manages to sort of... kind of peps him up a little bit.
Well, no, he's just sort of saying, no, take the money back, you know.
Yeah.
You know, take the money and
go
back to Durnsville. And that's when she's like, you know, are you sure you're going to be okay?
Yeah.
And then he's like, it's okay, I'm pretty and tough, like a diamond, or beef jerky in a ball gown. You know?
She's leaving then, and... whatever flavored milk or something.
Strawberry milk
spills in her bag. It ruins her Babysitter's Club books.
That's a shame because strawberry milk is the best milk.
It is. And Babysitter's Club was, I know the movie was terrible.
My sister had a load of them.
Yeah, there was a TV series. And there was also a movie I never saw either, but I saw the Nostalgia Chick review of the movie, and it was a very good review. I liked it.
I was always more of a Sweet Valley High guy.
Oh, that was a show. They were twins.
Yes.
They were
in California.
Yeah, and it was so revolutionary for the mid-90s that someone would actually watch a TV show that the entire premise... was that you had twins in America. It never happened before or since. It was so unique.
I just remember the theme song was about the fact that there were twins, and one was really popular and cool, and one was nice.
Two different girls that look the same at Sweet Valley.
Yeah. Is she really everywhere, or
her reflection?
Her reflection.
Yeah. And the line is actually, there's two different girls that look the same at Sweet Valley High.
It's just
they were really plumbing the depths of the human.
The song is just perpetually amazed at the concept of twins.
Yeah, it's like, wait, is she there?
Was there some sort of transporter accident? What's
going
on?
Like, am I
just saw you walk that way.
Am I seeing double? Four Krusties. Anyway.
Kimmy then, when she's throwing away all this stuff, she realizes she's a rat in the bin, and this flashes back to a scene in the bunker where she questions the Reverend about if the world's ended, then why
did she find the rat in the air filter when she was cleaning it?
Yeah, this is her, like, her standing up to the Reverend moment, being like, "You're not gonna break me, because I'm..."
Damn it! I will break you, Kimmy Schmidt.
There we go.
I can't do a John Hamm impression. Not very well.
Yet. Work on it.
Cigarettes.
More cigarettes.
Cigarettes. I see you found two sins. Could I introduce you to a third? No, that was terrible.
she then goes back into Times Square and she finds Titus. I never mentioned Titus. He's basically one of those people who hangs around Times Square dressed up as...
He is Robot Man.
Yeah, not Iron Man.
And she turns up at Times Square to find him and gives him a pep talk that includes lines, "You either curl up in a ball and die like you thought, and you did that one time, or you're gonna go sing at the Grammys with Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson."
Bad example, but okay.
And then they stand in the middle of Times Square and they sing The
Circle
of Life.
Off key and with incorrect words.
And
Jim and Nana had me winning my
Yes,
we
learned.
This came up last night. we were talking about the circle of life, and Aoife told us that the Swahili words in the opening chorus from The Lion King are all "It's a lion, look, it's a lion."
Pretty much.
Yeah. So you're all saying, "It's a lion, look, it's a lion, it's a lion."
Yeah, pretty much. I was looking that up independently of that as well.
Oh my god.
It's the Lion King's time, people.
Well, it's been,
everybody's
it's
just
been about 20 years.
It's sort of like, you know, it's a lion, we have a king and it's a lion or something like that.
I think like, it's a lion, hey father, look, it's a lion, something like that. But they sing that brilliantly, it is drowned out by the sound of city noise. So just basically like undercut their entire big moment. There's just the sound of all the crap going on in Times Square. And it ends.
Mm.
And this is fun.
It is.
This is it's a really well-polished episode of television.
Yeah. You guys chat about it while I bring up the link, the brand rankings.
Yeah, it's I think it's one of the strongest pilots that I've seen. And it's really, like, I don't know... If memory serves... it originally wasn't supposed to be on Netflix.
No, it was originally going to be an NBC show.
Yeah.
It was Tina Fey's big follow-up to 30 Rock.
So, because of that, I'm really impressed at the fact that the tone of the pilot was the same the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you look at other shows, like if you watch Community,
yeah.
the pilot of Community is really stereotypical, you know, American college show. And then it gets gradually more zany as it gets through the first season. I really liked the fact that the tone was so consistent.
I think a lot of that has to do with like the fact that this is coming from a seasoned team. Like they're coming off 7 maybe 8 years of 30 Rock.
Mm.
A lot of the 30 Rock writers and crew ended up doing this as well. The music is done by Tina Fey's husband, who also did all the music for 30 Rock.
Oh, okay.
I think some of the directors and camera crew were also because it's still an NBC Universal production. They're a team that worked together for 7 years. They know each other. They know their strengths and they can play to those.
Definitely.
So, I've just pulled up the pilot season Pantheon of Prowess, the now 27 strong list of television show pilots we have watched and judged.
Is this in order of preference?
Yes.
In order of preference.
In order of preference.
So,
I think it's very obvious where it has to go.
In order of preference for any new listener, if you actually want to read it through yourself, you can look in the show notes, but I'll run through it quickly. At number 27, especially because we've got a guest, at number 27 we've got Heil, Honey, I'm Home, which is a Hitler sitcom. A sitcom about Hitler, I repeat, Hitler. And his neighbours are Jews. It's in the best of tastes.
Oh, the hijinks that ensue.
Oh, the hijinks. Oh, the
Did anyone say servus?
No.
Then, you know what, it's not that authentic.
but his literal neighbours were Jews, that wasn't, and they lived in the same apartment complex. It really wasn't authentic.
Well, you know, maybe he went there because it was cheaper accommodation.
He was Chancellor of Germany. number 26 is Days Like These, which is that 70s show, but in the UK with terrible wigs, literally no budget.
And none of the fun of the original.
And none of the anything. It's just...
Did they hang out down the street?
They hung out in like a...
They hung out in a clearly obvious set.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Oh man, the car scenes.
Oh god, the blue screen, oh god. Number 25, it's Puccinski, where if you've ever seen Everybody Loves Raymond, you will know Peter Boyle, who was Raymond's dad. Imagine he was a dog who fought crime as a detective. That sounds cool, but really, it wasn't. Number 24, it's Darkman, which was...
A man with the power of dark?
It was an attempt to make a TV series out of the movie Darkman. You know the Liam Neeson Sam Raimi movie, Darkman?
Nope.
Well, it's like that, worse.
Okay.
At number 23, it was the Justice League of America, which is basically like you get the Justice League, you mix a little bit of like Friends in there.
And you don't have any of the cool Justice League members.
Is this the one that used to be on... TV? Well, like, I know.
No, it's live action.
No,
oh, it's live action?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
It was not good. At number 20,
Two was The Naked Jungle, which is basically, imagine the Crystal Maze, but set in a jungle, and naked, with Keith Chegwin as the host.
Keith Chegwin is also naked.
Keith Chegwin is also naked.
Oh god. Is this torture gonna go on?
Yes.
We just do the top 10.
KJ Mystery Science Theater, which was Mystery Science Theater, but before it got good. Number 20, Wrestling Society X, which was in your... No, it wasn't in your... It was in your face. It was
yes.
MTV. It was terrible. 19, XWF. That was really in your face. But Hulk Hogan, pre-racism, different world. 18, Shotgun Saturday Night had midgets. 17, Clerks Live Action Series, which was...
Oh, so bad.
Very bad. Number 16, The IT Crowd US, which was a bland retelling of the IT Crowd. At number 15 is Carissa Now, which is basically the televisional equivalent of...
Cardboard.
At number 14 was Red Dwarf US, which was a pale imitation of Red Dwarf. 13, Coupling...
I'm noticing a theme.
Coupling US. Ooh. Number 12, Doctor Strange. The soundtrack was nice. At number 11, The Adventures of Super Pop, which was... terrifying in its own way. At number 10, The Big Bang Theory, which is last week's episode, which was alright. At number 9, Pride of the X-Men, Australian Wolverine. It's pacing. At number 8, J.D. Doyle. Imagine if Martin P.I. had a lady friend and she was constantly undermined by the plot. At number 7 is Look Well. It's got Adam West and it was rather funny. At number 6 is Tag Team. So, starring the now recently departed Roddy Piper and
sad, yeah.
Jesse the Body Ventura as wrestlers turned cops. At number 5 was Pain, which was basically it was Fawlty Towers but set in California. And I found out that in California they did actually have Victorian architecture. Thank you, Rich Thomas from the International Object Podcast. At number 5-4, The Cage, the first pilot of Star Trek, when it's like the
Yes.
At number 3 was The Coltons, where you take an episode of MacGyver and you take away MacGyver and you have more Cuba Gooding Jr. At number 2, Heat Vision and Jack, which was the high pinnacle of our show until Alan and D. Amanda Hagen just double teamed me in a hotel room in Limerick. That sounds wrong.
Yeah, and you know what? It also sounds kind of plausible.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. The Hagen bit doesn't.
No, it does not.
More plausible than the other.
It's less plausible.
Anyway,
neither you nor the Hagen.
Look, just what happened in Limerick stays in Limerick, okay?
Okay.
Man of the High Castle was pretty good, though.
Man of the High Castle, I haven't seen it. So I can't comment.
So, Alan.
Yes.
Where do you think... Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt lies in this entire thing.
Very high.
Yeah, I don't actually know if it's number one worthy. Although that might just be because I knew I'd seen it already.
Yeah, I don't know about The Man in the High Castle. I know I don't really have any vote because I'm not actually a presenter or anything.
Dee Amanda Hagen did get a vote, but that's mainly because she's scary.
She got a vote?
Well,
yeah.
No, so she basically... we were pitching. I was pitching vote number 2, and then she outvoted me. And you don't say no to G. Amanda Hagen, okay?
I've never been given the opportunity.
No, if you have the opportunity, you will not say no to G. Amanda Hagen.
Okay.
She's very tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She looms.
Yes.
Looms over you.
I see. Like a sword of Damocles. Personally,
and she blows people up and things.
Personally, it would be a very almost a tie for me between Heat Vision and Jack and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I can see that.
The only thing that would push Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt forward is that it works an awful lot better as a standalone episode. Heat Vision and Jack, I have a feeling, would be better as part of a whole series. Because there is the start of, you know, it implies that, you know, Jack is treating Heat Vision not like his friend who's trapped inside a motorbike, but a motorbike who's able to talk, you know, like an object. And that sort of thing, I don't think really hangs as well by itself.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. The relationships in Kimmy Schmidt are a lot clearer even from the start.
Yeah. It's nice, it's self-contained. At the end, you know, it's there's room for growth, but it's done and dusted, and as one single piece of work, I think it holds together better.
I'm starting to think that Kimmy Schmidt should occupy, well, definitely occupy one or two. I definitely think it might go over Heat Vision and Jack, but over the Man in the High Castle, I'm slightly sentimentally attached to the idea of Nazis at the top, Nazis at the bottom, Chris in the middle.
I don't like the idea of Nazis at the top.
Well, the idea of,
I lived in Germany, man.
Well, we've at the moment we've got a sandwich between Hitler and an old Hitler and Mrs. Joan Hart.
Where's Mrs. Joan Hart?
Clarissa Now.
No, it's not exactly in the middle, but in our in our thoughts and minds, it is.
Clarissa Now is always our midpoint.
Yeah. Not always technically, but
our metaphorical barometer.
Oh right, that's why you mean it. It's like cinematic cardboard.
Yes,
it's
neither
bland.
Good nor bad.
Yeah, it's perfectly in the middle.
It's like a rice cake.
It's or cottage cheese,
or just.
It is 20 minutes of filmed television.
It is. It's like watching Beige.
There's definitely direction.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I would personally say it's above Heat Vision and Jack. I can't comment
on
number
Man
one.
High
okay,
Castle.
Right.
Is it better than Man in the High Castle?
Okay. When we're breaking ties like this, the criteria I always go back to is which one would I want to watch? Like, do I want to watch another episode of this? Both of them, clearly, yes.
Yeah.
So, if I was given a choice which one I wanted to binge right now,
yeah,
I'd go Kimmy Schmidt.
I would also go Kimmy Schmidt because, well, one, Man in the High Castle is like an hour long, and two, I actually think for production-wise, although Man in the High Castle is quite a good, like really, really well produced,
Kimmy Schmidt
is much slicker.
Yeah, it's really solid.
Yeah.
Every single element of it is really
well done, well placed.
There's like stuff in Man in the High Castle is very, there's lots of...
There's a lot of setup there that's probably going to pay off later, but it feels like setup. Mm. Everything in Kimmy Schmidt is there, both for the story and as a joke.
Yeah.
So it's serving dual purpose there. You've got the narrative, but you've also got humor interlaced between it.
Nice little throwaway gags like the furniture or the banana boys.
And I feel like the setup in Man in the High Castle could have a brilliant payoff when the series comes out. It doesn't help the pilot.
Yeah, as a standalone episode, it's not as strong.
And it's not meant to be a standalone episode. It's meant to be the start of the series.
Yeah.
Kimmy Schmidt works both as the start of a series and as a separate thing.
Yeah, I could watch could watch the Kimmy Schmidt pilot and be like, okay, yeah, I really want to watch more. Mm. Or I can be satisfied just watching that one episode.
Yeah, there's a climax. There's an arc to the episode. There's a climax, whereas Man in the High Castle, because it's meant to be a serialized thing, ends on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of CGI elements in Man in the High Castle I didn't really enjoy too much. They're all the Nazi New York things and all the kind of Japanese up San Francisco stuff. It was a little bit of like just post production stuff that just I didn't quite like. Like it felt a lot of it felt like it was done on a computer, and it didn't feel real. And obviously they have the Kimmy Schmidt has the advantage of being able to shoot in actual locations, which looks a lot better.
There is no Nazi occupied New York Man in the High Castle.
And I think that. Just from a visual perspective, I think Kimmy Schmidt is better. So, Number one.
Engage.
So, ladies and gentlemen, our new number one is the Unbreakable. Kimmy spelling errors.
The Unbreak Bale.
Yes, the Unbreak Bale Kimmy Schmidt is our new number one.
It turns out the biblical characters are Cain and Bale.
Cain and Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
That, ladies and gentlemen, or whatever, I'm not going to
and all put in between
any boxes, is another episode of the I'm on that Insurdy name show.
Oh, wow.
It's not been for a very long time. Pilot season, that's the name of the show.
Yeah.
And that means that next week, we're moving on to a different show. Next week, we're going down to Pope Town.
Indeed we are.
Pope Town?
Pope Town is an animated series created by Ruby Wax about the Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where Ruby Wax plays the Pope.
Okay. And I look forward to listening to that podcast.
And that's
it was quite controversial when it was announced.
And that's a
mainly
thing.
Mainly with the Daily Mail.
And that's a thing to look forward to. And this will be fun to edit because I can't cut over the bits that I actually talked over people on because this is all on one thing.
Yeah, not with that attitude.
Yeah, we're not done. I think Rod is getting ready to jump out of the chair.
I really want a drink.
Okay, we'll sum it up. That has been another episode of Pilot Season. I keep forgetting the name of the show today for some reason. I have been Patrick Brogan, the Unemployed Historian. You can find me at theunemployedhistorian.com, at nerdvice.com, and at other websites you can find via theunemployedhistorian.com. Alan Byrne, you have been my co-host and continue to be. Where, when, and why can people find you on the internet?
Well, let's skip over to why for now, but when is always, and where is at twitter.com, where I'm at Alan Byrne, which is spelled A-L-A-N-B-E-I-R-N-E. I have a Tumblr, which is alanbyrne.tumblr.com, and I have a website as well.
Oh, gosh, someone's ringing me. Hello. How are we? I am coming, pub. I'm in the middle of a... We're literally just finishing the podcast. We'll be there in about 15 minutes.
I'm not editing this out.
I'm sorry. You can come out to Patty's house if you want, if you're by yourself.
We'll be there in about 15 minutes, then.
Yeah, we'll be there in about 15 minutes. We just have to walk out. Okay, I'm really sorry about this. Well, you can come in if you want. It is a long, dark road. Okay, thank you very much. I'll buy you all the non-alcoholic beverages because you're driving and that's very irresponsible.
Okay, that's all right.
I am very good. Thank you very much. Right, see ya. Bye. Sorry about that, avid listeners.
That's getting cut.
I don't know. I think that was a comical conversation and should be left in for authenticity.
We'll see. We'll see what the editor thinks.
Right, well, where was it? Tumblr. Yes, I have a Tumblr. It's alanbyrne.tumblr.com. Or you can go to my website, which is alanbyrne.com, although it recently went out to look at some bunnies and now got trapped into a bunk. We won't be seeing it for a while.
No.
Probably.
And I don't know if you have anything to plug, Raj.
Do I have anything to plug? Well, I'm a composer. I do music for web series. And so on, and you know, promotional campaigns.
You do lots of things.
Games, apps, that kind of thing. I'm also an amateur chef. So, if you would like to find any of my witty conversation, aka also asking my brother if he wants to Skype me, I'm on Twitter, at Rajmeister. My website that I occasionally do stuff on is robertjlucas.wordpress.com. And if you want to see pictures of the delicious food that I cook, I'm on Snapchat. My username is Mr. Legato. Mr. Legato, I will plug whatever I want, sir.
That's just skeevy.
How is that skeevy? I'm literally just sending pictures of food.
Everyone knows what Snapchat's really for, right?
I get pictures of food. And I did send a duck pic because I had roast duck that I sliced and I put on Snapchat, so it was a duck pic.
So if you want to add Rod on Snapchat,
Mr. Legato, M-I-S-T-E-R Legato, as in the musical thing.
You could have just stopped with your website. That's all I'm saying.
I personally would have spelled Legato and left Mr. unspelled.
Oh yeah, but what if people want to see my duck pic?
I'm reconsidering having a guest again, man. Because our guests bring strange and weird places to our podcast.
But isn't that what people want?
I suppose.
Yes, and you will see Raj on a future Unemployed Historian video.
Currently in filming.
We're currently filming it right now. Okay, so that's a bit of the pilot season. And goodbye, people of the internets.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.